Juice Radio. I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com. Welcome to Geek Juice Radio. If this voice does not sound familiar to you, that's because I was dead and I've come back as a zombie. I'm Tom Bad Guy. With me tonight is Charlie McMullen, and I think he wants to be a zombie.
I would give anything.
What is new with you?
I'm about to enjoy my first on-screen nudity.
Well, I know. I got your web video up right now.
Oh, not that. That was just for fun.
I'm in our live chat we're doing right now naked with each other.
Well, I just thought that was our thing.
Does it have to do with the guy on the ball?
No, that's a completely different thing. I have a whole bunch of crap going on right now, most of which I can't talk about, but the on-screen nudity is for my Spring Fling Film Festival movie, which I will be co-hosting with John Mark Wiley on March 30th here in Pueblo.
Well, my only question is regarding your on-screen nudity, and based on what I'm lying about seeing now, is how you managed to live life with two but only one testicle.
It's sort of like Christoph Waltz's gun and the Green Hornet. I only need one chamber.
Double limp and one balled up. Tonight we also have Alex Jowski.
Hello, I am here.
He sure is.
Apparently that's it.
There's nothing new with me today.
And then we also have Kevin Daly. Come on down, you just won the lottery.
Woo! No?
And the lottery is
$400 and one.
And the lottery is automatically, with no choice, accepting 81 timeshares.
Damn, that's the worst prize ever.
Anything new?
Not really. It's pretty much the same stuff. Oh yeah, I'm going to Arizona next week, so I actually won't be on the show next week. But
right on. So when you get back, you'll be made out of leather.
Yes, it'll be lovely. And I'll have consumed vast quantities of alcohol.
Nice.
That's usually what I do in Arizona. Watch baseball and drink lots of alcohol.
Yeah,
and I never get drunk because it's the low altitude. I never feel anything.
I drink a lot of alcohol on that vacation you guys didn't ask me about.
Yes, how was your vacation, Tom?
You said you were dead, so I assumed, you know.
It's too late now.
It's all I've been thinking about. I have to know how your vacation was, Tom.
No, I went, I saw, and I conquered. That's all anybody needs to know.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Except for herpes. That will come back with you.
That, yeah, comes back with you.
All right. I had intended a topic tonight of video game adaptations of movies, or not even video games, just adaptations in general, but I got carried away in assembling research for it, so we have just like a grab bag of shit that I'm just gonna read, okay?
Who wouldn't want to listen to
it? So it's gonna be listening to Jowski the entire time?
No, it's just lists I pulled for talking points. We're not playing the list game.
I hope you're not driving while listening to this, people.
Because you will drift off the road.
It'll be like NPR, and you'll just fall asleep.
Stay tuned for All Things Considered.
Right, so, first thing we got here is a list of the top 10 worst video game movies.
And I can't believe there's only 10.
It should be all of them.
Yeah, except for Max Payne. I kind of like Max Payne.
I don't know. I've never watched a movie based on a video game that I liked. Ever. Not even Tron.
I like Silent Hill.
Actually, which came first? The first Tron movie or the game?
I think the movie came out first.
Okay.
I have too many browser windows open to search, so.
So, just strike that from the record.
You'll just take my word for it.
We'll take your word for it, Tom.
And I said it. So since nobody can correct it, it's that fact forever. So if it's wrong, you're just going to have to figure out something with it. Just deal with it.
Okay.
Well, on this list, we've got number 10 is Super Mario Brothers.
That was the best movie ever made. What are you talking about?
It was just f***ing awful.
I may be reviewing that in the upcoming months for Dystopia Month. I don't know if you've announced that yet, Jowski. But
I think I've mentioned it before.
I mean, Bob Hoskins and Dennis Hopper are both very good actors. And John Leguizamo is a very good comedian, not so much an actor.
He's going to play in the wormy sidekick.
What, you mean like Spawn?
Sidekick.
And number 9, we got Max Payne.
So defend Max Payne, Tom.
Well, to be completely honest, when I played from the game translated to the movie, like, has anybody else played Max Payne?
Yeah, years and years and years ago. I liked it at the time.
I think I rented it once.
Those weird dream sequences where, like, platforming.
Yeah, do you remember the bullet time?
Yes, yeah.
I thought they portrayed that pretty accurately in the movie. Like, I'm just talking about, like, gameplay-wise for the movie. It was pretty accurate. And then, like, the whole story of the movie that nobody liked was everybody kept thinking, like, oh, there's, like, weird angels and demons in it. But what it is it's an actual drug that makes you hallucinate that you see it. The setting was right because it was cold. They had the snow. Mark Wahlberg's awesome. That's one reason why I like it, because I'm writing his right now.
You've been writing Mark Wahlberg's for quite a while.
Since The Departed, I plopped on and I have not removed myself.
See, I would have thought Boogie Nights, because that's actually something to write in there.
But his fake hog.
Yeah. The still they have up on this list that Jowski brought up, it's Mark Wahlberg, who could not look more like Mark Wahlberg at this moment. He just got this really weird look on his face. Oh my god, it's difficult to describe.
It says Mark Wahlberg talks to a tree.
Does he talk to a tree in that movie?
No, I don't remember.
Could be a clip from The Happening.
I would definitely watch that movie with a couple of hits of ecstasy.
Next on the list, we got Resident Evil, all but the first.
I would say even the first. None of them were any good.
I like the first one. I was okay with the first one.
I could never get into it, but that's not really my thing.
Well, it falls into a movie cliche that has always bothered me, is you have... And this is... I'm trying to think of a way for this not to sound misogynistic, but it's gonna, so I'm just gonna go with it. They always have an actress who is way too hot to be a biologist.
Dr. Yeah. Christmas Jones, the Bond character. Physicist, but yes, that's the example I was going with.
Christmas Jones is a physicist. You got Mila Jovovich in Resident Evil, Nicole Kidman in Batman Forever. I mean, it's a cliche that's always bugged me.
I had to defend the Batman Forever. Do I have to do that right now?
Nope.
You talk about Batman Forever because I've been watching it. I watch movies to go to sleep. I put one on in the background just to go to sleep too, because I like the ambient noise. And Batman Forever had been the movie of choice recently.
So in your house, Batman Forever is considered ambient noise?
Yes.
You tell me who'd do a better job playing the Riddler than Jim Carrey.
Well, nobody. It's individual components apart from Val Kilmer as Batman, which did not work for me.
Val Kilmer worked for me as Bruce Wayne, because I can imagine Val Kilmer compared to all the other Bruce Waynes, that he would be a multimillionaire rich playboy who could actually get all those women aside from Michael Keaton, George Clooney, or what's the other, Christian Bale.
See, I would say Michael Keaton is my favorite Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne had money. It wasn't about being a suave guy to get women. He just...
No, it was. It was. Don't even talk about this until you actually read a comic book.
Yeah, that's true. I gotta take that with a big fat grain of salt.
Bruce Wayne was considered very attractive as well. He was like the rich guy that had it all. Then that's what's supposed to contrast with his alter ego as Batman.
Except parents in your face, Bruce Wayne!
Like Chris Farley, then.
Exactly, like Chris Farley. Thank you.
That makes sense if you really don't think about it.
Next on the list, we got Mortal Kombat from 1995.
The first one or the second?
I like that one a lot.
First one, with Christopher Lambert. Title is supposed to be screamed at the full volume, but there's people...
Mortal Kombat!
No, you did it wrong.
It's Mortal Kombat.
There you go. Come here!
That was brilliant.
I like the first movie. I don't mind so much. I think people are pretty skeptic of it. I would say Mortal Kombat, besides from Super Mario Brothers, was the first, like, I guess, violent... Well, I don't want to say Mario Brothers, but, like, the first, like, I want to say violent-type video game movie that was really popular that came out.
It was the earliest one I can remember that had, like, a controversy behind it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't that bad. No, Mortal Kombat Annihilation was hella worse.
That's terrible.
That is a miserable crap.
My second date was to that movie.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. She must have walked out on you.
I was like, well, you know what? I had my in the bottom of the popcorn, but I was like, you know what? Don't even bother.
This movie's so bad, I can't even feel right about playing that.
Right? I'd rather just enjoy the butter and wait for this to be over.
This movie doesn't deserve me to pop a boner in this popcorn.
I can't perform watching this movie.
Right.
Next, we got Far Cry, which was Uwe Boll.
Kowski, we all know you're a big Uwe Boll fan.
Yeah, I can't give him this one. This one's pretty crappy.
Is it? I haven't seen it, so.
Now, this is probably Uwe Boll's highest budget.
10 cents?
It's up there.
I think it was an even quarter for that one.
An even quarter.
Next, we got DOA, Dead or Alive.
I've never seen it.
I didn't know they made a movie of that.
I did.
And now, is it Dead Alive, or was it that volleyball game?
No, it's a fighting game.
Fighting game. The volleyball game was a spinoff of the fighting game.
Yeah.
I'd watch a movie based on that game.
I never saw it, but I saw Spoonie's review of it.
Like, really violent volleyball? I would watch that movie.
No, they're just...
No, not at all.
Playing volleyball. It's
just
Kevin Nash is in that movie, and he wears a Hulk Hogan wig.
Now we've got House of the Dead, more Uwe Boll.
That movie is terrible.
Then we got Tom's favorite here, Street Fighter.
That movie is awesome.
I like that movie on multiple levels, actually.
How could you?
There's actual funny parts in that movie.
But they're not supposed
well,
to.
Well, first of all, Kylie Minogue.
Yes. Second, change the channel.
Yeah, the change the channel part, that was one of the funniest parts. They're sitting there at the camp, and the truck's rolling with the bombs, and they're watching on the TV, and then Zangief is just like, quick, change the channel! And then everybody just looks at him.
I don't know. Anything with Van Damme, I can't really get behind.
Oh, another funny part is when Bison's stronghold's getting attacked, and he's doing the speech, and he's like, oh, they're coming to get me, but we will stop them. It's just you and me, DJ. And then DJ just sneaks away. It's hilarious.
I just think it's extremely sad and heartbreaking that that was Raul Julia's last movie.
He's good in it, though, actually.
He was having a great
really
time.
Really enjoyed...
He wasn't, yeah.
Well, I mean, he was slumming it. You
well,
can
yeah,
tell
but
that.
He was having fun doing it. So at least he had... I think he had fun going out.
I just wish he would have had a better legacy. Like, well, you know what? This might be a topic for another time, but I saw a movie... last night, but it was Raul Julia as Dr. Frankenstein, who encounters John Hurt, who is a scientist from the future who gets thrown back in time. It's sort of like a reverse Army of Darkness, and Bridget Fonda plays Mary Shelley. It's called Roger Corman's Frankenstein Unbound.
I've seen that.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, that was Roger Corman. He stopped directing in the 70s after he had a huge falling out with New World.
Yep.
And he did Frankenstein Unbound in 93, and it was like his return to directing
films. I think that was like... 1990.
Somewhere there.
If I remember correctly, but it was
near 20 years since he died.
I mean, you're trying to sell me on a Roger Corman directed movie. It's
yeah, it sounds like something like I would absolutely. You're right. I would have to be high to enjoy it.
But I mean, Corman directed The Gunslinger. I mean,
and Swamp Women.
Swamp Women.
And number two on this list is Double Dragon.
Hey, it stars the chairman from Iron Chef America. That's good enough for me.
It's got Alyssa Milano.
Double Dragon!
Yeah, Alyssa Milano is in that, running like the underground riffraff gang or whatever.
Yeah.
That's actually a terrible movie, but...
Movie is, yeah, it's well, got...
It's also dystopian, Kevin.
It is.
It is.
We need a really tough actress. Who to get? How about that chick from Who's the Boss?
Hey, Alyssa Milano is smoking.
Let's do it.
And number one is Blood Rain, which I disagree with. I loved Blood Rain.
I never saw it.
That's Uwe Boll.
Okay, now am I reading this correctly? Vin Diesel, Lindsay Lohan, and Sean Bean?
What movie is this and why haven't I seen it?
It's Blood Rain, and I don't know why you haven't seen
it. No. It says here, I can sell them and finance my own movie adaptation of Little Big Planet.
Oh, okay.
Diesel. He's making this up.
Okay, yes, that was fictitious. Sorry to be a tease, Kevin.
Now we have this weird best and worst.
Sad now.
The best Mario adaptation versus the worst Mario adaptation.
Now, the worst was clearly the movie that we just mentioned.
Yes. Best is apparently a Japanese film called Super Mario Brothers: Great Mission to Rescue Princess Peach.
Nobody liked the Super Show?
With
Super Mario Brothers Super Show! Captain Lou Albano. I have that on DVD. I actually am a pretty big fan.
Do the Mario swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario. Take one step. And then again, let's do the Mario all together now. Come on now, just like that.
That was the most racist show until Tyler Perry's House of Pain came out.
Okay.
The best and worst Mortal Kombat movies we already discussed. That's a pretty clear cut.
Annihilation, I will say, is worse than part one.
Did anybody watch the TV show Mortal Kombat Conquest?
No.
It was the live-action Mortal Kombat show starring Kung Lao.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was. I think it was on like TNT or TBS like a long time ago.
Yeah, I saw that when I was coming to do my research here. It had Christiana Loken in it.
And it was as cheesy as probably like the Highlander TV show. It was basically like a thousand years in the past and it focused on Kung Lao.
Huh.
And Raiden was in some episodes. I liked it.
Next we got the best and worst zombie movie games. They said the best was Resident Evil Extinction.
The best.
That's zombie themed video game adaptation.
It's a movie, yeah. Extinction's a movie, right?
Yeah.
CGI movie?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
I've not seen it. I've actually heard it's pretty good, though.
And the worst, it's House of the Dead. Best and worst Tomb Raider movies? Well, there's only two.
The first one's the best and the second one's the worst?
Actually, they've got it backwards. Because in the second one.
Dude, okay, I will not lie. I saw the first Tomb Raider movie opening night.
I saw it opening weekend. I saw it.
Yeah, I think I saw it opening weekend. I didn't see it opening night. But yeah, I actually liked it. It was okay.
I saw it opening night, and I was just like, I thought they could have done more. It kind of bored the shit out of me.
I still have yet to see any of them.
Well, if you could stomach Angelina Jolie, because I struggled to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I can't, so.
Right, next we've got the best and worst beat-em-up movies. Well, video game adaptations.
Beat-em-up?
They put the best as Dead or Alive.
That's a, well, they mean fighting game, and Dead or Alive isn't beat-em-up, but it's fighting. Like, a game like the X-Men arcade game or like Final Fight, that's like a beat-em-up. A fighting game would be Dead or Alive.
They're talking about...
Whatever you're reading this off of insults me.
The best and worst movie adaptations of fighting games. They said the best movie adaptation of a fighting game was Dead or Alive.
Why'd you say beat-em-ups?
That's the word they used. Because they put the worst to Street Fighter.
And it is insulting you, Tom, because there's a little doodle here of you blowing three guys.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're all three of you. And then you're like,
hey!
And then you're like sitting there going like, God, I've had better from each other.
It has the best and worst video game movie by Uwe Boll, the best being Postal, the worst being Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark, though. It's like an anti-movie.
Postal was a fun game.
That was a great game. The best and worst animated video game movie. They put the best as Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
Okay, first of that all, movie, it's boring. Second of all, it's not even really video game based.
That movie would have gotten more praise if the words Final Fantasy were not in the title. If that movie is called Spirits Within, people would be like, oh, I like that movie. I watched it. I didn't think it was that bad. It had nothing to do with Final Fantasy, but it actually wasn't that bad when I watched it. I didn't hate it.
And why are they going to put this as the best instead of Advent Children?
Because What's Advent Children is pure fan service?
I will tell you why I view The Spirits Within in a positive light. I've never seen the movie. I have not played a Final Fantasy game since way back in the day. But I remember when this movie was out, James Woods was on The Daily Show.
Yes.
And he was talking about how realistic the characters looked. And he's like, here's this woman who does not exist anywhere in reality. And there's a whole bunch of guys wanting to put the wood to her.
And James Woods is the bad guy in that. It's awesome.
Forgot about that. Well, that's bonus points because James Woods is awesome.
But then Alec Baldwin's like the hero. And the thing I didn't like is his voice totally does not go with the character that's like the male lead. Like it. Yeah.
And the worst animated video game movie it says is Pokemon 3.
Never seen it.
Did not see that one. I saw the first two.
Best and worst video
game. My wife is in the background shaking her head asking why would they say that. She loves the Pokemon movie, so.
So, Kevin, you saw two of them, and then you said, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much.
Best and worst video game adaptations of first-person shooter games. They said the best is Doom.
Well, given the selection.
Because the other one is Far Cry.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I think your options are limited. Doom at least has The Rock acting like an idiot, which is kind of amusing.
All I have to say is Carl Urban is the It's the only reason I watched that movie.
Well, I'm just now learning that Till Schweiger was in Far Cry.
Yep.
And that dude is awesome. Hugo Stiglitz.
Best and worst video game movies featuring Olga Kurylenko.
This will be informative.
The best is Hitman.
I hated that movie.
And the worst is Max Payne.
I did not like Hitman at all.
I didn't even see it. It did not appeal to me.
It's only because he didn't kill anybody with fiber wire, and I was totally disappointed.
Now they've got the best and worst video game movies they couldn't shoehorn into a category.
Charlie, are you suffocating fish, like, with a pillow? Because all I hear is muffled.
No, I was exhaling smoke.
With a certain kind of pillow.
Of this best and worst uncategorized, best is Silent Hill.
That's my favorite that video game movie.
It is good.
Yes, you guys seem to enjoy that. I've never seen it, and I've never played the game, but there doesn't look like there's anything fundamentally wrong with the movie.
And the worst
is creepy, it's pretty gory, it's interesting, and it's got Sean Bean in it.
And he gets to live.
And he does live.
The worst is Wing Commander.
Oh, God.
Ah, back to Matthew Lillard. I see where...
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Wing...
returned.
Wing Commander was so bad, it would make me your pants.
That is pretty bad.
Now we have the reverse. The best and worst video games based on movies. So it starts with the best and worst video games based off of a Marvel comic movie.
Okay. Why did you sound so angry when you said that?
I was trying to clarify. Wait,
best video game based off a Marvel comic book movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
Spider-Man 2 will probably win just because I've heard that.
No, one game I heard, it was actually not for the new Hulk movie, but when the original Hulk movie came out, the PS2 game, apparently a lot of people liked it because you could literally destroy every single thing in the environment.
That would sound awesome, but Spider-Man 2 is what took this list.
I'll tell you why the first Spider-Man game deserves honorable mention is because Bruce Campbell did a lot of voiceover for that game. And apparently there's like either a training game or like a side game that takes place in a bowling alley. And at a certain point, you hear Bruce Campbell's voice saying, Jesus, Quintana, your lane is ready.
Huh.
And the worst video game based off of a Marvel comic movie was Iron Man.
I'd never played it.
I know. They could not get Robert Downey Jr. to do the voice, and the guy they got sounds nothing like Robert Downey Jr. at all.
Isn't this so weird? Because a lot of movies based off games suck, and then a lot of movies that come out that they want to make video games for suck as well. Like, none of them can get it right, apparently.
Well, it should be a lesson to everybody that says come up with original goddamn ideas.
Well, yeah, like, the Lord of the Rings games, when the movies came out, I didn't like them, like, because I got the Two Towers, like, before the movie even came out, and I beat the game before I saw the movie, so I got to see scenes from the movie before the movie came out. That was cool, but the game itself was just garbage.
Well, it's because the movies are all about walking. I can't imagine how boring the f***ing games must have been.
Oh, you just hit the X button the whole time.
Was that the series that was, like they were, like, 3D brawlers, kind of?
Yeah, and it was just the same.
I had a couple of those. They're okay.
Yeah, I watched Martha playing one a couple years ago.
I'm sorry you had to experience that.
Yeah.
I owned a couple. They were okay. I never got very far in them.
And that has nothing to do with the game, by the way. Just sorry you had to be in a room with Martha at that point.
Yeah. Now we've got the best and worst video games based off of Star Wars.
Oh, the best?
NES Star Wars game is pretty bad.
Well, that one's pretty bad, but, like, the best, I would say, like, I really like the Star Wars arcade game.
That is listed as the best.
Yeah, that is godlike.
It was fun.
So awesome.
TIE Fighter is my favorite, but I'm...
Oh, I love that game, too.
The worst definitely being that NES one where Darth Vader turns into a scorpion.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
What?
I played the shit out of that game. The hardest goes to the last stage in Super Return of the Jedi.
I don't think I ever got through it.
You're
that
trying
time.
To f***ing escape the damn Death Star.
They put the worst as being Star Wars Masters of Teras Kasi.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that is a giant piece of shit.
It has a picture of Luke Skywalker fighting a whore. Apparently they named a sand person whore, and they're fighting on Hoth.
I can't imagine a sound person be kind of uncomfortable on Hoth.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a Tusken Raider. Why? How would he even get there?
So you can say, damn, that whore is cold.
That is one cold whore.
Best and worst James Bond video games.
Best
GoldenEye. Hands down.
I don't think
anyone... let's go with the only one worth playing.
Worst is Tomorrow Never Dies on the PlayStation. Yeah, I rented that. Actually, I owned it.
Do people... I forgot that people even... I forgot what the term rent even means. I forget about that stuff.
We're old.
When you're a kid or younger, like, renting is just awesome. But nowadays, like, look, it's either on Netflix, I'm buying it, or it's going to be illegally obtained out of my computer. That's how it's going to happen.
Best and worst Steven Spielberg movie video games.
Oh, this will be great.
The worst is probably E.T.
Yeah. The Jurassic Park arcade game was pretty...
That's their best.
The Lost World arcade.
Oh, yeah, I remember because you could sit
the shooter.
It was like that huge thing. You could sit two people in it, and it was like all dark, so you're like in the pod by yourself or with somebody else. It was pretty fun.
The Jeep style arcade cabinet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was like a Jeep or something.
Yeah.
And worst E.T.
Yeah.
It's a shame that arcades are like dying.
That is sad. Always makes me sad.
Best and worst movie arcade video games. So these were just ones in the arcade.
Oh, I don't even...
Alien vs. Predators. That's not really a movie, but I like that one. I mean, it became a movie. It became a movie, but at the time, it was not a movie game.
The Terminator arcade game where you could use the Uzi was cool.
That's the one they list.
Yeah, that one was awesome.
Terminator 2 was cool when you could blow... Because the still that they had on here where you blow a hole in Robert Patrick's head.
And they list the worst as being Street Fighter the Movie, the arcade game.
Yeah, that was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I played that on the Sega Saturn. It was awful.
I had the... right after the X-Men movie came out, I had that X-Men Mutant Academy fighting game. I wasted $45 on that.
I'm just saying.
Is that a fighting game?
Yeah, it was a fighting game.
That was the first game that dawned, like, the whole Marvel vs. Capcom series, because you had Mutant Academy, and how do you not like that game? The game is awesome. You had Mutant Academy, then you had X-Men versus Street Fighter, then you had, I think it was Street Fighter versus Marvel vs. Street Fighter, then Marvel vs. Capcom, then MVC2, and so on. But that was, like, the first game that featured that fighting style that you see in all the versus games, like, now.
Well, but what got me about it is, this is unrealistic, because I'm Wolverine, and I can beat the shit out of Dark Phoenix to, you know, perfect, but Toad kills me?
Enjoy it. Well, maybe you just suck at the game, if you ever think about that.
As far as realism goes, you were fine with it up until that point.
Best and worst movie monster video games.
And listed as the best, Kevin, was Aliens vs. Predator.
This is the one that's based off the movie, though.
Yeah.
Huh.
And listed his worst is Jaws Unleashed. from the makers of Echo the Dolphin, announced that in the Jaws game, you will play the shark itself. This was on the Xbox.
And I played that a couple times. I had borrowed it from a friend of mine, and it was actually pretty awesome.
That's
like, because there is a mode where you could play as the shark, and that's the only fun you'll get out of it, but it was great.
All right, best and worst David Perry movie video games.
Who?
David Perry is a super developer responsible for some of the most popular video game titles of all time, apparently. I'm just learning this. Responsible for several movie tie-ins, including their best pick here, Disney's Aladdin.
That game wasn't that bad.
No, I remember it being fun. Like, I didn't even like the movie, but I remember the game being really fun.
Yeah.
And the worst, they put Enter the Matrix.
Actually, yeah. Enter the Matrix. I'm going to tell you a story. That, do you guys remember before X-Play became X-Play and it was extended play, like on Tech TV?
Yes.
Okay, back in the day, they sat there and they reviewed Enter the Matrix and said it was so bad that they said a better alternative was to download the free mod for the Max Payne game, because they had a Matrix mod where you can control Max Payne and do stuff like in the Matrix. They said that a free mod for some PC game was better than the entire game of Enter the Matrix.
Which may well be true.
I think it is. Well, Max Payne's awesome already, but I just heard that game was f***ing terrible.
Now, the best and worst video games based off of movies that were based off of Philip K. Dick stories.
This is getting so postmodern, I could s*** myself.
So number one is Blade Runner.
There was a game called Blade Runner?
Yes, for the PC.
Hey,
it's Ray McCoy, an
appointment so
adventure.
Did it come out before or after Snatcher? Because that game's way better.
This probably would have been before.
And the worst is Total Recall on the NES.
Yeah, I remember. That was pretty awful.
Best and worst video games based off of movies with Dan Aykroyd.
Okay, this...
Jesus, what the hell are with these lists?
They're getting way too specific.
Best is Ghostbusters.
And the worst is Ghostbusters?
No, the worst is Blues Brothers.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was god-awful. I remember that.
The 10 worst licensed Street Fighter 2 products.
Huh, this will be interesting.
Of course they discussed Street Fighter the movie.
Yeah.
As well as The Legend of Chun-Li.
Dude, okay, that movie, when you're f***ed up, can be the funniest movie ever created, ever.
Then they list the Street Fighter, the animated series.
Hey, Tom was telling me about that. I'd never seen that.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. Okay, I'll tell you the story. If you download Final Fight on Xbox Live, you can unlock the Final Fight Street Fighter, the animated series episode, where it has, like, Cody and Guy in it. I'm just going to give you a hint on how bad this thing is. The beginning starts off, and, like, they're at a party. It's Jessica, who's the chick you have to save in Final Fight, and the building's on fire. And this is the epic dialogue that they have in this show. There's a fire, so she points and goes, "Everybody, run to the staircase, because you must always go to a staircase in case of a fire."
Of course, the screenshot they show is Zim Bison, and his face looks like a California raisin.
Oh, no, that's pretty Bison. Is it all teeth?
Like, M. Bison in the screenshot they have is just, he looks the way that Kevin is going to look when he gets back from Arizona.
Then they have the DOS port of Street Fighter 2.
The DOS port of Street Fighter 2? That must have run like ass.
I'm sure it did.
I think I may have played that.
The physics are completely wrong. With each jump, you see your character float almost off the screen.
Yeah, like Doll Sims Yoga made him look like he had like a bad back.
This is totally off topic, but I think I just remembered that I played the DOS version of like Mega Man.
Yeah.
Really? It was like really slow and like two hits and like you died. Like it was really bad. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
The Tiger handheld games.
Oh, I had that. I had that. I beat the shit out of that game. It was fun. I don't care. No, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Street Fighter, the game on your watch.
The wristwatch game.
Actually, wristwatch game.
I want to talk about those Tiger handhelds. The best one I ever played was the Sonic pinball one. That one was awesome.
Well, because the screen was actually shaped like a pinball display.
Yeah.
I remember
had
that.
The Darkwing Duck handheld game.
Oh, I had the Darkwing Duck one too. you just had to like throw Duck a wing, I guess I'm going to call that.
Yeah,
like,
that's all you did.
Like Dodgers. Yeah, I remember that. I totally remember that game. I also had the Batman one, because the Batman was like the exact same thing. You just had to throw batarangs and like hit stuff. Like that's all you had to do.
Now, the picture they have here of the Street Fighter wristwatch game, memories are coming back to me now, because I remember seeing this in a toy store, and I remember that it looks like Blanka is sort of bent over the screen. Jodie Foster style.
I will give somebody $100 if they could take the Street Fighter wristwatch game and FADC into Ultra with it. I'll give $100.
Oh, I'm on it.
Then there was the Street Fighter 2 G.I. Joe toys.
Oh my god, are these and how can I get them?
I had a couple of them.
That's f***ing awesome.
I'm guessing you gotta go on eBay and be prepared to pay $250,000.
Murray ahead of you.
In arcades, you could find the Street Fighter Whack-A-Mole machine.
Oh my god, that sounds so awesome!
It was...
Just imagine that. You're just hitting Dalsum over and over, and he's just like, yoga, yoga.
M. Bison heads popping out of the machine. And
one in a red hat and one in a blue hat.
Yeah, yeah. You hit him and he just goes, this place will become your grave. Or no. You hit one and it goes Legend of Chun-Li style. You hit it, it goes bop and he's like, give me your freaking child.
And it seems awfully grandiose because he yells that at you, but then the head just goes back down into the hole all timid like.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, pretty Bison.
It says here that it's the worst thing to carry the Street Fighter name that isn't an unlicensed hentai starring Sakura and an octopus. Moving on, for a brief while at Universal Studios, they had Street Fighter the Ride.
Dude, that's awesome. What did it entail?
It was a simulation type ride, like Star Tours at Disneyland.
Like you like live inside the Hadouken Blast for about 5 seconds.
That would be awesome.
Okay, now, based on what I'm hearing from Tom, if you ever get access to a time machine, like you're not going to go prevent the Holocaust or prevent 9/11.
You're just going to buy me Street Fighter 2 toys.
That's exactly. You're just going to go on a Street Fighter tangent and play the arcade whack-a-mole game.
That sounds awesome. That is awesome. All right. That's all I got to say.
There's also the 10 worst Spider-Man tie-in products.
Is it Spider-Man riding the Raptor? Because those are awesome.
There's a Spider-Man electronic toothbrush. The spider dog costume for your pet dog. Spider-Man band-aids.
Why are you talking about Spider-Man? Spider-Man's stupid.
There's a Spider-Man tie.
Oh my god.
That is a tie-in on no fewer than two levels, my friend.
Get the f*** out of here, Charlie.
There is a Spider-Man pillow pet. You know what the pillow pets are, right?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
And in fact, the Spider-Man one was called Snuggleman.
I have a wife, so I...
Yeah, I was about to say, my girlfriend has some pillow pets.
It's like a plush toy / pillow.
I still don't see the difference.
Of course, you also don't see the difference between a plush pillow and a girlfriend either.
Apparently.
Spider-Man slippers, Spider-Man underwear.
Now, I had endless fun with the Spider-Man underwear, you know, like shooting webbing.
I'm so sorry. This has never happened to me before.
I would just like to say that I'm wearing Batman boxer briefs right now.
That is awesome.
And trust me, nobody wants to see the bat symbol as on my ass.
The Spider-Man riding a Spider-Man train.
Yo, dog, I heard you like Spider-Man.
Of course it says Spider-Hobo, because only hobos...
All I instantly thought about was Spider-Man on Thomas the Tank Engine. With like a dub voice.
The amazing prosthetic arm Spider-Man fishing rod. You would wear this arm, and it had a fishing rod where your fist would be.
Dude, that's awesome. Okay, if they actually made one that probably wasn't cheap and worked, that'd be awesome. So you can like shoot the lure like you're shooting a web, that'd be badass.
I think that's used by guys who are going fishing who want to distract their kids so they can drink.
Yeah. Hey kids, look at this.
Maybe it doesn't spin a web, but it catches fish using flies.
Badoots.
That's just terrible. That's terrible.
There's also the 11 most pointless celebrity products.
All of them?
Rap snacks. Old dirty bastard made some potato chips.
That's awesome. Where can I find ODB's potato chips?
They're called Dirt McGirt. Sour cream and onion.
You could drink ODB chips with a can of OE.
You could do that.
I think something like ODB sour cream and onion chips tastes best with Four Locos.
Some Old English, yo.
Mickey's.
There was Jeff Foxworthy brand beef jerky.
I do think we need to have a moment of silence for ODB, though.
Stop laughing, everybody.
By the way, my wife goes, she's playing draw something, which I guess everybody's playing. That's the hot thing right now. And she goes, what's RZA? I'm like, that's the RZA. He used to be in Wu-Tang Clan.
Not to be confused with the GZA.
Now there's a Sega CD game called Slam City with Scottie Pippen.
Yeah,
I've heard of that, yeah.
I don't think anyone can... tell me with a straight face that Scottie Pippen was not one ugly son of a bitch.
We forgive him because he stood next to Jordan.
His face was just beaten with something.
Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania.
That exists?
Yes, it was like spaghetti and fettuccine and what you gonna eat to flush everything out of your colon.
Brother.
There was the Hulk Hogan brand energy drink.
Wow.
There was the Steven Seagal brand energy drink.
Get a stand-up to act energetic for you.
How fat does that make you?
There was Joe Perry's Rock Your World hot sauce.
Ouch.
The Michael Jackson premium chocolate bar.
Wow.
At least it's not an R. Kelly chocolate bar.
There was...
R. Kelly's lemonade.
There was Shaq Fu. My cat just jumped on the computer, knocked over a DVD, and fell down.
Yeah, so
cats.
And I might never stop laughing.
And there was Billy Bear.
Well, yeah.
Yep, and Jimmy Carter's brother.
The worst celebrity-endorsed product, I guess you'd say, was the SNES game, Socks the Cat Rocks the Hill.
Okay.
I had the Game Genie codes for that.
It's a game where you play as Bill Clinton's cat.
So, Kevin.
Yes.
Peyton Manning of the Broncos.
Yes. Eight Manning with the Broncos.
Did you hear about that? Did you hear about the deal with Tebow about the how it's not going to go through yet?
Yeah, I heard about that too. I was reading that when I got home.
What was it like? Whoever he was traded to had to give Tebow $5 million.
It's something like that.
Isn't that a great contract?
That is a great contract clause.
Yeah, I'll explain it to you, Alex and Kevin, or Charlie. Basically, Tim Tebow, this quarterback for the Broncos, got traded. But in his contract, it says if he gets traded within a certain amount of years from when he got signed, that whoever he's being traded to has to pay him $5 million.
So why is everybody writing this guy's...
I'm not. I'm just saying, but isn't that... That's a great contract. That's like... That is like perfect. That's like a perfect contract. It's like... So what you're going to do is you're going to trade for whatever you're going to trade for plus $5 million.
That makes me sick.
The 10 most insulting things video games charged money for.
Okay.
Horse armor and Oblivion. Ugh. Kevin, you've played this.
I have horse armor.
Did you pay for it?
I got it as part of some Game of the Year.
But would you pay for it?
Because originally it was
not
DLC.
Not by itself. Included with some other DLC, yeah. I would not have gone out of my way to go, oh, yeah, horse armor, no.
What the hell is your problem?
Ceiling cat up there.
I know, Jowski's cat is reenacting the Nautilus scene from Mission Impossible.
Why is your cat insane?
She's ceiling cat now. Weapon skins.
Yeah, look, some people like that sort of customization, but...
But the thing is, it's... You are paying money to paint your weapon a bright color in an environment where anything that isn't dirt brown gets seen and shot immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
Paying but for power...
If you're pro...
Paying for power-ups in Dead Space.
That was an option?
Apparently.
That's kind of sad.
Warden's Keep in Dragon Age Origins.
I got that for free with whatever edition I bought, so I didn't have to...
Here as this guy gives you a story, and he's like, yes, desperate stranger, I will aid you in this valiant quest. To which he replies, that will be 7 real human dollars.
Yeah, well, it's one of the more heavy-handed ways of putting a DLC into a game. I will say that. There's no way around that. But like I said, since I already had it when I got to that guy, it wasn't like that intrusive.
It says your machines haven't ruined a narrative so badly since the Matrix sequels.
This is really weird. Like, this is the first I'm learning of any of this. And it's weird that someone is going to borrow actual money from a human being in order to loan it to a fictitious digital character.
Next is Resurrection, Call of Duty Black Ops. It was a $15 DLC.
I don't know anything about it. I don't play those games, so...
I don't pay for that.
Oh, shit.
Jesus.
Sorry, Alex's cat is scaring the f*** out of us again. Still.
She leaped from the ceiling onto my face there. Next is Everything from Train Simulator 2012.
Is it all DLC?
The ridiculous bit is that this is a game about simulating trains, and you have to buy the trains. They're the whole point of a train simulator. They cost $20 each. Why not just buy a real train?
Yeah, so this is all the excitement of trains... In a digital format that can still cost you money.
Yeah,
cheaper to just go travel on real trains. Hell, be cheaper to hire a dozen prostitutes to cure you of your interest in trains.
People really like trains. My father
do it though.
On trains.
Prostitutes can replace trains really quick.
And buying money in Godfather.
Oh my God.
You would spend real money to buy fake money.
Really?
Yep.
This is just making me feel icky.
They'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
Oh, snap.
The $250K in fake money would cost $1.80.75?
I don't know.
That comes out to 133 fake dollars per Microsoft point.
Okay, that makes sense then. Pay instead of play for Tales of Vesperia. You would just pay and your characters would gain levels.
Well,
and
that's just cheap.
And the number one worst thing that a video game has charged money for is Snooki hair as an avatar item in the Xbox Marketplace.
Yeah, that would win, yes. I don't think there's any question about that.
This is making me just furious.
Oh, have you ever played a Zynga game on Facebook?
I never will.
It is all about pay us.
Oh, the dwarves and Heroes of Neverwinter? Remember I was excited about that? Yeah, you gotta pay real money to buy them. So I was like, I don't think so.
That's awful.
Martha could have paid $10 to get a bigger farm in Farmville. Instead, she grinded for 2 weeks doing nothing but Farmville to save up like 5 million fake monies.
Is that like Central African monies?
Yes, it's Farmville monies.
To which homeless Haitians replied, really?
Now this is the least subtle product placements in video games. This is the stuff that's... What is the Douglas Adams phrase you gave me the other day, Kevin?
It hung in the air much in the way bricks don't. The ship hung in the air much in the way bricks don't. I think that's how that line goes.
I think, before we get into this, I think Baby Ruth deserves a place in the Product Placement Hall of Fame. Because this occurred to me the other day. The Goonies, Bubba Hotep, and Hellboy all rely heavily on the Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever even had a Baby Ruth.
They're awful.
They are?
They're hideous.
Huh.
Do you like paydays?
Not really. Tawny does.
Okay, take a payday and dip it in chocolate. Because it's basically peanuts, caramel, and chocolate.
Poop.
I know, it seems impossible to screw that up, but they did it.
Well, the least subtle product placements is the California Raisins, the Grape Escape.
Well, yeah.
Are we selling raisins? I don't know.
The raisins kind of became took a life of their own. I mean, they kind of...
A very racist life of their own, I think.
Of course,
a little bit.
The Atari game, Pepsi Invaders, where it was just Space Invaders, only you were shooting the word Pepsi.
Yeah, punctuated with an alien.
Super Caesar's Palace on the Super Nintendo 1992.
Oh, I played that. It's not as good as Vegas. I played
it
too.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's your typical...
Vegas Stakes is by far the best casino game ever made.
I mean, do you remember when we were kids, though, and, like, the way that Super Nintendo games and Sega Genesis games looked just blew our minds?
Yes, I remember.
They just look laughable now.
Yeah. Well, they've aged better than the N64 games have.
Yeah, like
those over. Early Polygon games do not.
Here's the problems with Super Caesar's Palace, because it was to tempt Super Nintendo owners with the forbidden fruits of Las Vegas. This scheme failed as A, many SNES owners weren't of legal gambling age, and B, Super Caesar's Palace made it feel like you were the last gambler in a post-apocalyptic Vegas where all other humans had been wiped out.
It's true.
Yeah.
I remember playing that. You're like the only dude in this casino. You're like surrounded by dealers and table runners on all sides.
And there was no other people in the casino. Number 7. Oh, apparently it's a tie because it's the same product. McKids on the Nintendo and McDonald's Treasure Land Adventures on the Genesis.
People were just horribly shameless back then.
I rented this game once. Chester Cheetah, Too Cool to Fool.
Kids loved Chester Cheetah.
My father-in-law was fond of recording himself playing video games. We found a copy of VHS tape of him playing that at one point. That game is absolutely heinous.
It's true, and Chester Cheetah just looks like Joe Camel and a cat had a baby.
The other thing is that the Chester Cheetah video game, what it was really marketing was Cheetos paws. That's what you collected. Remember those?
The paw-shaped Cheetos.
Paw-shaped Cheetos puffs.
I forgot that was a product. Thanks for reminding me.
I bought the ones that that turned your tongue green.
Yep.
Flamin' Hot paws.
If it's Flamin' Hot, I avoid it. Kool-Aid Man, the Atari game.
There are no words.
Yeah, you would throw balls and go...
Oh, yeah!
There's a little comic. Yeah, where he's bursting through a wall and saying, oh, yeah. But it's Atari, so it'd be...
If that, could just involve a dude raping an Indian.
Number 4 is Yo-Noid.
I played a lot of that game.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. It was weird because there was like where the Noid is trying to catch bank robbers for some reason, and then there was a skateboard level, and then there were these side games. It was like tic-tac-toe, but for some reason you were throwing pepper in somebody's face.
There were the food-eating contests.
Yeah, exactly.
The had the worst AI ever. This is how you did the food eating contest. You would pick how many pizzas you're going to eat, and you could pick 1 through 10. So of course you're going to pick 10, because the computer's always going to pick 1, no matter what you pick anyway.
Right. It was just ridiculous.
It was just, they might as well just have pick a number between 1 and 10. 13! You win!
Bam!
Number 3, Cool Spot.
I played a lot of that, too. I mean, because I couldn't really get invested in a story involving a red dot from a 7-Up bottle, but the graphics were amazing.
It actually won EGM's 1993 award for Best Sound.
The sound was good, too.
Wow. And I used to buy that magazine.
Number 2, Budweiser Tapper.
There was a Budweiser game?
Yeah. Have you ever played Root Beer Tapper?
No.
Sick arcade game? I love that arcade game, but it was originally Budweiser Tapper. You'd only find it at bars. But then people are like, well, we want to stock this in our kid-friendly arcade. Can you just take out the Budweiser branding? And they made it Root Beer Tapper.
No kidding.
No, it was pretty cool. It was like a plate-spinning kind of game where you had to go from bar to bar and catch these beers that were being slid down the bar.
Yeah, you would fill beers and throw them at people before they got to the edge of the bar to beat you up, and then they'd throw the empty glasses back at you.
Huh.
So it's pretty much all negative Irish stereotypes in video game form.
Number 1, Journey Escape and Journey on the Atari.
I'm guessing you're talking about actual, like, the band Journey.
The band.
Yes.
Indeed.
This was before Aerosmith had that really bad...
Aerosmith Revolution.
Yeah.
I remember that.
This is an
Pretty Atari. Sure my wife likes that game.
This is an Atari Aerosmith game Revolution. Where you had to navigate the mazes of Journey groupies.
Both of them.
you gotta try not to get laid as Journey.
Exactly. You play as Steve Perry navigating a sea of blue balls.
Pretty much.
But this is not as much a list as much as it was a really interesting article. It was 5 video game adaptations that missed the point of the movie. So there was the video game Scarface, The World Is Yours.
Which featured the voices of both Cheech and Chong.
Now, how well do you remember, what is the point of the movie Scarface? What is the theme of that movie?
Get rich, do a lot of blow, go out like a boss.
But he dies.
Right, he went out like a boss.
Excess leads to downfall.
That crime doesn't pay. Well, Scarface, The World Is Yours starts with the closing, final scene of Scarface. But Tony Montana turns around at the last moment and kills people, and he lives. And you go through the game as Tony Montana doing all the crimes you can.
Yeah, this is all after the movie.
Remember how in Scarface he would not kill a woman and a child? This one, you're encouraged to like cut off the heads of children with a chainsaw.
Yeah, you're just laying the smack down on every living thing.
And the game had a schematic called Balls. Where if you were shoot people, you'd get more points if you shoot them in the nuts, because you can do that. And it shows a picture here of where he's hit this guy. Right nut, right net, leg. But once your balls meter got up, because you'd get balls for shooting people in the balls.
Well.
But once your balls meter got all the way up, you would become invincible.
That is such a weird philosophical issue. Like, you destroy someone's balls and you gain the power of their balls.
There can be only one set of balls.
At the end of the
game... like Highlander for testicles.
There can be only two. All right. For those of you that have made it this far, Charlie McMullen is signing out a little bit early. Thank you for listening.
And I think we'll call it a night too, Kevin. So I'm Alex Jowski.
I'm Kevin Daly.
Check out the website, www.geekjuicemedia.com. Lots of new stuff going up. Good night.
And good luck.
Since we're running a little short on time tonight, I guess I'll just make our outro music the coolest song I've heard recently. This is Funkhauser by a group called Hard and Firm.
All right, I want everyone to start clapping. Everybody, come on, follow me. 1, 2. That's good clapping, Bert. Usually not on beat. You just on stage because you look so handsome. But tonight, you on beat, all right. All right, Nathaniel.
You.
I want you to give me a smooth bass line, nice and smooth, all right?
All right.
1, 2. 3, 4. Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Like stepping into a warm bath. Wash your soul. Make the people clean. Lyman, come on in. Something high up there.
Here we go.
Guitar!
so smooth. But sometimes I like a little chunky. I want a little chunky in there. Lewis!
Yeah.
You think you can do that?
Well, yeah!
Chunky chunk. Now, who we got on horse?
You got me. You got James.
Okay, James.
And
no bone Willie. I want you to fly in nice and low. Now, watch me now. Somebody take an egg beater and beat it against a skillet.
Oh, I'm on it.
You over there ready, Freddy? When I point you in, I want you to give me a duck call.
Absolutely.
Can you give me a duck call?
I can give you a duck call.
Let's get some ducks in here. Skill saw and make me a table, a funky table. Did you see Robert jump up on that?
Woo!
I didn't even have to ask him twice. Now, move that microphone up to that vat of boiling pudding. Watch the microphone. Now, take some of those softballs and drop them in that pudding.
You got it, boss.
But make it funky. Nah, I don't like that. Let's try something bigger. You see that robot? Pick up that robot. And drop him in the pudding. All right, now. I want somebody. No Bone Willie. Put that horn down. You all drop out. Willie,
no.
Take a dead rat. Throw it against the bus.
Do what?
Open that patio door, take a dead rat, throw it against the bus.
Okay.
No, man. Leave the pudding.
Yeah.